That song we just sang so often when we sing it, I don't know why, but I think of Peter Riccardi. He used to come and he used to sing that song just about every time that he was with us. And if you can think of to pray for them, his mother just passed away the other day. She was 93 years old. He and his wife Jean have been taking care of his mother now for a long time. And but she lived a good life, and a beautiful lady, Christian in heaven. And so pray for the Riccardi and the Bissell family. Frank Bissell's wife, Elaine, is Peter's sister. And so the service is tomorrow down in Pennsylvania at the church. And so just pray for the entire family.
Amen.
That they can get through this. Okay? You know how that goes. Yeah. All right. Luke 17, please. Luke 17. Luke 17. I'm just seeing if I can smile on my face, if I can get anybody else to smile. I'm smiling. Trying to, anyway. Some of you look just so...
No, boy.
Never mind. Come on, the Lord's good, isn't he?
Yeah.
Hopefully you're saved.
Yeah.
What else can go wrong, right? I mean, a lot of things can go wrong, but... We serve a risen Savior,
Amen. And
we know that we win in the end.
Amen.
We might be feeling like we're losing right now, but we win in the end. That's the important thing.
Amen.
When we leave this planet, one way or the other, through the rapture or through death, that's eternity.
Yeah.
And all of our trials and tribulations and our past will be past. It'll be behind us. Really, as a Christian, you don't have a whole lot to be negative about all
That's
the time.
Right.
That's right.
But some of you are.
Lord, forgive us.
I have a list of the most negative people I've known in my life. And I will not reveal that list. But I got the list right here. I'm not going to say anything more. Okay, Luke 17. It may include some of you, it may not include any of you. I'm just going to leave it out there. So. If you want your name removed, once your name is written in the Book of Life, it's there, right?
Yeah.
So, but my book can change. So if you want your negativity removed, then just change your attitude, and I'll take you off from the most negative people list that I know. Fair enough? Does that sound good? Yeah, there you go. All right, some of you are smiling now. That's good. All right, stand with me. Let me read some verses here in Luke 17. Maybe you don't care. Maybe you want to be on my list. I wouldn't want to be on my list.
Some people are unhappy.
I might even be on my own list. I don't. Kathy would probably put me on my own list. All right, Luke 17, verse 11. And it came to pass, as he went to Jerusalem, that he passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee. And as he entered into a certain village, there met him 10 men that were lepers, which stood afar off. They lifted up their voices and said, "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us." And when he saw them, he said unto them, "Go, show yourselves unto the priests." And it came to pass, as they went, they were cleansed. And one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back and with a loud voice glorified God and fell down on his face at his feet, giving him thanks. And he was a Samaritan.
Yeah.
And Jesus answering said, "Were there not 10 cleansed? But where are the 9?
Right.
Father, thank you again for the word of God. Thank you, Lord, for the passage I just read. Please, Lord, bless this message as it goes forth today. Bless your word as it goes forth. Speak to hearts and souls of every one of us in this room. Lord, I need what's going to be preached today, and everybody in this room needs it.
Mm-hmm.
Somebody may be listening online today. I don't know who's out there, but Lord, you do. And so I just pray that you would speak to our hearts through the word of God and the Holy Spirit. Save lost souls. Lord, get a hold of saved souls to do what you want us to do. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
You may be seated. Most of us know the story here. It's entitled pretty much The Cleansing of the 10 Lepers. I entitled the message, The 10 Lepers. I have preached from this passage of Scripture before, but the Lord has given me a little something different here to give you. It's been since I read this a few days ago, I haven't been able to get this thought out of my mind, so I kind of figured if I get a thought or a passage in my mind, it must be something God wants me to preach. Yeah. Or at least He says, go at it. Sometimes I say this. Sometimes I say, Lord, can I preach that? And then I wait to hear back from Him. And two things. If I get a yes, I'm going to preach it. If I get a no, I'm not going to preach it. And if I don't hear back from Him, I'm going to preach it. Right? I mean, that's the way I look at it. So if He doesn't say I can't, or if He doesn't say no, then I assume I've got His okay on it. These 10 lepers. Let me give you four quick things about this. The first thing we see is the separation of sin in verses 11 and 12. These men were lepers. Jesus comes into the area, and the first people that meet Him is not the throngs of all of the crowds and those that were supposedly worshiping Him. No, He is met by 10 lepers. And they all cry out for Him to show them mercy. In which He does. He shows them some tremendous mercy. Leprosy was a fatal disease back in the times of Jesus and prior. Matter even during the Dark Ages, leprosy was a major concern. There was no known cures then, and there was nobody that could help them at all. If you were deemed to have leprosy, you were pretty much doomed to die. One Bible dictionary describes leprosy as this: nothing short of a living death, a dissolution of the whole body. Your whole body just over time dissolves, so that one limb after another actually decays and falls away. Usually starts with the nose. The nose, somehow the face is affected normally first. If you go back to Leviticus 13 and 14, you'll see that when somebody suspected leprosy, they went to the priest. The priest was just to do a basic exam, a visual exam, and be able to see, was the white spot, was it leprosy? Was it something else? Was it a boil? The priest had to be doctor, nurse, and preacher all at once. Back in the Old Testament. I mean, they sent everybody to the priest. Mm-hmm. I'm glad that doesn't take place today. I wouldn't know what to tell you. I'd call Donna and I'd call Bonnie and say, hey, can you come over here and take a look at these people? Tell me what you think. I don't know what they have, you know. But we're not trained in medical things. But the priests were trained by God Almighty.
Amen.
God told them what to look for.
Right.
And that's exactly what they did. And so you got to read those passages of Scripture in the Old Testament to kind of determine how serious this was. But it was a serious disease. Leprosy in the Bible is always a picture of sin. We know that. We just know that it signifies sin. Sin makes us an outcast from God's presence, doesn't it?
Amen.
Sin separated. Started with Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden. When they sinned against God, they immediately were separated from God. When God came to look for them that morning to have a conversation with them, they were all hiding somewhere. What caused them to go hiding somewhere? It was the sin that separated immediately, spiritually, between them and God. And of course, God had to kill animals in the Garden of Eden and shed the blood and clothe them with that death of a substitute, with the blood being shed in the Garden of Eden just to atone for their souls. And so sin does that. We're born with a sin nature. I love my father, but I got my sin nature from my father.
Yeah.
Buck, my brother, got the same thing. He got it worse than me, though. No, just kidding. We all got the same sin nature. Every one of us got the identically same. We inherited. We didn't inherit much from mom and dad, did we, Buck? But we did inherit the sin nature from our father. And so we came into this world as little Fenton boys. And boy, we were cute. I've got baby pictures of me that for $20, I'll let you see them in the office. Just kidding. But we were cute little kids. Buck was a cute little boy growing up. I don't know what happened to him, but he was a very cute little boy growing up. And so was I. I don't know what happens to all of us. We get older.
Yeah.
But we also were cute little sinners. And we gave our mother a run for her life. I've shared the stories As kids, how Mom had to call the state police on me numerous times. And she would chase us with the broom handle and all kinds of things. And wait till your father gets home. That was one of the things that was ingrained in our minds. And the black belt would come off of my father.
That's funny. That never happened to me.
Well, it happened to me a lot. And I know it happened to you too, but you wished it didn't happen. But our sin separated us from God Almighty. And so the only way that we can get back to God again and in His fellowship is through His Son, Jesus Christ.
Amen.
His death on the cross, the blood that He shed for us, the life that He gave up for us, so we can have eternal life. So sin makes us this outcast. Let me read just quickly Ephesians chapter 2, verse 13. It says, "But now in Christ Jesus, ye who sometimes were afar off are made nigh by the blood of Christ." We were far off at one time. Before salvation, I was way out there. I mean, I wasn't even near God. You couldn't find me close to God before my salvation. But once I got saved, now I'm close to God. I'm no longer that alien. I'm no longer that outcast anymore. I'm now a part of the family of God. I'm actually adopted by Him. Amen. God is my Father, and so are you if you're saved.
Amen. That's right.
Sin, we know, deforms and destroys. Mm-hmm. Sin kills our bodies.
Amen.
Sin destroys our bodies. People that smoke. Maybe you smoke, maybe you don't smoke. I used to smoke, quit 47 or so years ago. Thank God I did. It's the most stupidest thing a person can do. Is suck in smoke and blow it out. Suck in smoke, blow it out. Suck in smoke, blow it out. You know the adage, if God wanted you to smoke, He would have made a chimney on the top of your head. God doesn't want you smoking. It destroys your lungs. It destroys. It hurts your blood. It hurts your brain. It literally, every cigarette you smoke is an extra coffin, a nail in your coffin.
Yeah.
I forget the statistics. I had it written down somewhere. I don't, but every time you smoke, you're shortening your life that God wants you to have. If you smoke right now, quit tomorrow. Quit today.
Yeah.
I know it's hard. I did it. One of the hardest things I ever had to do, but I did it. Cold turkey. That's it.
Yeah.
You know, you can quit if you just refuse to light the stupid thing up.
Yeah. Right.
Just don't light it up. Stick some gum in your mouth and chew gum and don't light it up. Don't ever light up another cigarette.
Yeah.
If you drink alcohol, alcohol destroys your body.
Amen.
It destroys your liver. It destroys brain cells. And believe me, you need everyone that you've got.
Amen.
I need everyone that I've got. Alcohol destroys your body. That's why there's so much warning in the Bible against alcohol. Well, what about a casual drink? Just as bad as anything else. Get rid of it. Get rid of anything that's destroying your body. That's what sin does. Sin just deforms. Leprosy would literally deform the entire body. Fingers would fall off. The nose would fall off. Ears would fall off. The legs, toes would fall off over time. Terrible, awful disease. But sin does the same thing. Sin is incurable apart from divine intervention. God is the only thing, God is the only one, I should say, that can give you the cure for sin.
Amen.
And there is a cure.
Amen.
Thank God for that. Praise the Lord for the God's salvation that gives that to us. We actually see that in Leviticus chapter 13. By the sacrifices that were offered for the cleansing of the leper in Leviticus 13. That's a picture of what Christ was going to do for us when it comes to sin. Let me define to you what this individual, I forget who it was, but I wrote it down. Here's a definition of sin. Listen to this. Sin is any thought, any word, any desire, any action or omission of action contrary to the law of God. Can I say it one more time? Any thought, word, desire, action, or omission of action contrary to the law of God. Folks, sin is a very serious thing. A lot of churches today won't preach on sin because they're afraid they're going to offend somebody. For me to even bring up smoking and drinking will offend some of you. Because I said it. Because that might be the exact thing that you're doing. So that bothers you. That offends you. Or if we mention anything that's sinful out there that affects us, we get offended. We're a easily offended people.
Amen. Amen.
And we get offended over preachers or people that criticize anything that we're doing that might be contrary to what God would want us to do. Hence, preachers today don't preach a whole lot on sin. People like to find a church that sin is hardly ever mentioned. And so that's what they like. They would prefer to hear a message just of goodness and God's love and forget about the sin. But I'm going to give you 9 things about sin today from the Bible that I'm going to share with you. 9 things. You write them down. I'll give them to you. Number 1. Number 2. I'll give them all to you as we go through this. I want you to know what sin really is. And I want you to know where it comes from and how you can be taken care of that today in light of the 10 lepers. We're going to get into the lepers and all of that here in a few minutes. But let me first show you from the Bible in John chapter 8 and verse 44. Number 1, write this down. Sin is of the devil. Sin is of the devil. John chapter 8, verse 44. Ye are of your father, the devil, and the lusts of your father he will do. He was a murderer from the beginning and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it. You might say that the devil is the father of sin. He's the one that started it in the Garden of Eden, right? He came to Eve and he said to Eve, yea, hath God said. He lied to Eve. Remember, he's a liar and the father of lies. In the very next chapter, in the book of Genesis, chapter 4, we see that Cain is killing his brother Abel.
That's right.
Do you know who was behind that?
That's right.
Satan. Yeah. The devil. Lucifer was behind that. He was trying to destroy the seed that was mentioned in chapter 3 about the Savior that was going to come in Genesis chapter 3,
right.
Verse 15.
Yeah.
So Satan thought, let me just have one of the sons of Adam and Eve killed. And so he wiped out Abel, because Abel was the one that the seed was going to come through.
That's right.
But then they had Seth, and then Seth became the one that the seed was going to come through. And the rest, Jesus Christ, came fine.
Amen.
And he's our Lord and Savior today. 1 John chapter 3, verse 8. Just write that verse out. I'm going to read it. 1 John 3, 8. He that committeth sin is of the devil, for the devil sinneth from the beginning.
Yeah.
For this purpose the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. And so number 1, sin is of the devil. Number 2, 1 John 5, 17 says that all unrighteousness is sin. 1 John 5, 17. Bible says, all unrighteousness is sin, and there is a sin not unto death. Mm-hmm. All unrighteousness is sin. Amen. So as we look at the various verses and the descriptions of sin in the Bible, we can see exactly what it is. Oh, it's the big stuff. Yeah, it's the big. It's the murder. It's the rape. It's all of that, of course. But so is an unrighteous thought.
Yeah.
So is an unrighteous word. So is an unrighteous deed.
Amen.
Because the Bible says all unrighteousness is sin. Number 3, look at James 4:17. Here's the third thing about sin we see in the Bible. James chapter 4, verse 17. Number 3 is the omission of what we know to do that's good. In James 4:17, it says, therefore, to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. Wow. So you know you should do something good and you don't do it. The Holy Spirit puts something in your mind to do something. Okay? Get up and get to church, Holy Spirit says. And you don't. Well, you've just sinned. Read your Bible today. You say, I don't have time to read my Bible today. The Lord will understand. No, that's sin. You know it's something good to do. Pray. Give. Witness. I mean, you could name anything at all, but to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, the Bible says to him, it is sin. That's serious.
Yeah.
Oh, I know the murder is bad and all this other stuff is bad. And, you know, man seems to put a degree on sin.
Yeah, that's right.
So we do. We put a degree. That's the bad one. That's a real serious one up there. But we don't think of an unrighteous deed or an act or a word as that bad. We don't. We just ignore what God says for us to do in His Word, and so we think that's okay. No. Why do we think that there are some things that we can ignore and not do, and expect that we don't have to answer for that? Wow. That's okay. That's not how God works.
Right.
Look at Romans 14:23. Here's number four. Romans 14, verse 23. It says, "And he that doubteth is damned if he eat, because he eateth not of faith. For whatsoever is not of faith is sin." So number four is, whatever is not of faith, that's a sin. You're trying to live your life yourself. Trying to do your own thing. Trying to go in your own direction. Trying to make your own decisions. Well, how's that working out for you? Mm-hmm. Usually doesn't work out too well. Yeah. Over time, might seem okay right away, but over time, that's not going to work out well for you at all. So whatever is not of faith, that's something. Sin. Look at Proverbs 24:9. Proverbs 24:9. Have we struck any chords yet? Have we gotten to you yet, or you still think you're pretty good and you don't sin? There are people that have that thought, you know. There are people that think that they just do not sin. They just do not sin. Well, in Proverbs 24:9, it says the thought of foolishness is sin.
Yeah.
I think that would get us all.
Oh, yeah.
And the scorner is an abomination to men. The thought of foolishness? Come on, you've had a foolish thought. You probably had one today, so already today. I already had a foolish thought. You had one yesterday, I'm sure, or Friday, or Thursday, or Wednesday, or Tuesday, or Monday. Somewhere in the past week, I'm sure you had at least one foolish thought. If you're human, you had a foolish thought. That's what you had. So you're a sinner, whether you like it or not. How about going to Genesis chapter 6? Genesis chapter 6. This is number 6. So, let me run through them again quick. Recap, sin is of the devil, sin is all unrighteousness, sin is the omission of what we know to do something good. Sin is whatever is not of faith, sin is the thought of foolishness. And look at what Genesis 6:5 says. "And God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually." Well, here's something sometimes we don't think about. How about the imaginations of a lost person? Stop. Look up here. How about your own imaginations?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Come on.
These people were lost prior to the flood, and that's why God had to wipe out the entire human race at the time. But I don't think that we, as even Christians, are exempt from some evil thoughts at times. Yes, we have them. Come on. Come on. Don't sit there as super Christian saying that you don't ever have a wicked imagination.
Amen.
You do. I do. We all do. Do you ever think about some of the thoughts that we have? We just thank God that they're not out there in public so everybody can see them.
Come on, preacher.
Come on.
Come on.
Get real.
You know, the way we think would be a lot different if we walked around with a 32-inch flat screen TV around our neck tied to our brain. Can you imagine what would come across on that screen?
Oh, boy.
No, you can't. I'm thankful that God didn't make us that way. I don't have a TV built in my chest tied to my brain. Thank God for that. I know, every little kid would love a TV strapped to their mind. Wow. I don't know. I'm just thankful I wasn't created that way. Genesis 8:21 goes along with this one. 8:21. Genesis 8:21, it says, "And the Lord smelled a sweet savor, and the Lord said in his heart, I will not again curse the ground anymore for man's sake. For the imagination of man's heart is evil from his youth. Neither will I again smite any more every living thing as I have done." So in our youth, we start thinking evil thoughts.
Yeah.
In our youth, we start having evil or wicked imaginations. And unfortunately, they proceed throughout our life. It's sinful. Galatians chapter 3, verse 22. Galatians 3, 22. Here's number 7. Galatians chapter 3, verse 22. Galatians 3, 22. We all know Romans 3, 23. But let me show you Galatians 3, 22. Paul says here, "But the Scripture hath concluded all under sin, that the promise of faith of Jesus Christ might be given to them that believe." All are under sin. So, what is sin? Sin is simply, we're all sinners. Paul says that's the conclusion of our life, that we're all under sin. We need a Savior. Without a Savior, we can't be saved. Without a Savior, we're going to die and go to hell. But Jesus died for our sins on the cross. He shed His blood for us on the cross. So again, Scripture concludes that all is under sin. Number 8, look at 1 John 1. 1 John chapter 1, verses 8 and 10. 1 John chapter 1, verse 8. "If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us," John said, as he wrote that. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. Verse 10, "If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us." There's a group of people going around saying that once you're saved, you don't ever, ever sin again. It's a very dangerous movement, and it's destroying churches. It literally wiped out a church that I know of down in Ithaca. Bill Calabretta's church closed the doors because of a false doctrine that crept into the church, and it infected every person in the church except the preacher. He couldn't hold the church together, and every single person left the church. And the doors closed because of that one false doctrine that moved into the church. It's destroying another church that I know of right now today because of this false doctrine that is creeping in. Listen, you can't go against the Bible and expect to last very long.
Amen.
As a church.
Amen.
My advice to people is get off, stay off the internet. Stop looking up foolish things.
Amen.
On the internet.
Amen.
I think, listen, the internet has some good things, obviously, but it's destroying people's lives.
Amen.
At the same time. People are believing everything they read on the internet today. All kinds of crazy stuff out there. It just blows your mind. I hear some of the things, and it's just like, where'd you get that? Well, I saw this guy on the internet, and he was telling all of us. Okay, that's where I thought you got it. So. Number 9, look at Proverbs. I'm sorry, 1 John 1, 9. Right there. Let's not take the time to go over the Proverbs. Look at 1 John 1, 9. "If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness." So the 9th thing that I wrote down is we need to confess our sins. Why is that? Because we're sinners and we sin.
Amen.
That's why. Well, I should rephrase. We're saints, saved people that still sin.
Yep. Yeah. Amen.
And we will until Jesus calls us out of this sinful world.
Yeah.
And changes and gives us the mind of Christ. And gives us the new body that we need. We're still going to go through these sinful traits even as a saved person. We have to fight this thing every single day. We have to fight our thoughts every day. We have to fight our words every single day. We have to think about the deeds that we do every single day. And so going back to our text in Luke chapter 17, we've got these individuals that are lepers. Leprosy, again, is a picture of sin. Leprosy killed probably most people that had that awful disease. I read somebody recently that, and I never thought about this, but some people think that that was a form of leprosy that Job had in the Old Testament. Job's the oldest book of the Bible, so leprosy is not mentioned there, but his condition was awful. Boils from the top of his head, leprosy is a form of that. There's red, white, and black leprosy mentioned. And these three different kinds of leprosy will destroy a human being. If God did not intervene with Job, he would have died of that particular infectious disease that he had. In verse 13 of our text of Luke 17, it says, "And they lifted up their voices and said, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us." The second thing we see, first of all, number one, is the separation of sin. Number two, the search for serenity. Do you know that everyone wants serenity? Do you know everybody wants mercy? Do you know everybody wants help? Do you know everybody wants peace of life and peace of mind?
Yeah.
Not a soul in this room that doesn't want peace of life and peace of mind. Don't we all want that?
Yeah.
Once in a while, we might get a part of a day with a little bit of that in it, right?
Yeah.
And we thank God for it. But everybody wants serenity. Everybody wants mercy. Everybody. I mean, they were asking God for mercy. They were asking Jesus for mercy. Have mercy on us. You know, that was their only cure.
Amen. That's right.
Is the
Amen.
Mercy yep. coming from Jesus Christ? That was the only cure. These yeah. 10 men were doomed to die.
Yeah.
And yet, they were crying out for mercy.
Yeah.
They were asking for the mercy
right.
of God.
Right.
Yeah.
Remember, mercy is not getting what we deserve. Grace is getting something that we don't deserve. Mercy is not getting what you deserve.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We all deserve hell today.
Yeah.
We all deserve it. Yeah. Listen, like it or not, maybe you don't think you do, but we all deserve hell. We all deserve separation from God for all eternity. It's
yeah.
only by the grace of God that
Amen.
We don't have that.
Amen.
It's through the mercy of God
yeah.
that we are saved today.
Amen.
God's mercy is rich towards us. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 4. Ephesians 2, 4. But God, who is rich in mercy for His great love wherewith He loved us. Rich in mercy. There is nobody richer in the universe than God
Amen.
When it comes to mercy.
Amen.
Psalms 86:5, I'll just read it for you. Psalm 86:5 says, "For Thou, Lord, art good and ready to forgive and plenteous in mercy unto all them that call upon Thee." Plenteous in mercy. Do you think He has enough mercy to save the 8 billion people on the planet
Amen.
Right now?
Amen.
Of course He does. He could save every soul right now. If every soul turned to Jesus Christ right now, He would have all the forgiveness that He would need. All of the blood that Jesus spilt was enough. Heaven is big enough for 8 billion more people.
Amen.
You say, "Well, I don't want to be crowded there. I don't like crowds." When you get to heaven, crowds aren't going to bother you. We have our little phobias down here. We don't like crowds. We don't like being around a lot of people. We don't like doing this. We don't like doing that. I can't do this and I can't do that. And it's just, that's our favorite word in English dictionary is, "I can't, I can't, I can't." No, it's you won't. 1 Peter 1:3, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to His abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead." I'm so thankful for mercy.
Amen.
Amen.
Psalm 106 says, "Praise ye the Lord, O give thanks unto the Lord, for He is good, and His mercy endureth forever."
Right.
Titus says, "Not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy
Amen.
He saved us. By the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost."
Amen.
We're saved by the mercy of God. These 10 lepers, just all they could do is cry out to God's mercy. The search for serenity was right there. Look at number 3 of our text, verse 14. "And when He saw them," remember, every time that Jesus saw something in the New Testament, He saw them, He was moved with compassion. These 10 men moved Jesus to do something. If there was just one man, and previous in another passage of Scripture, we know that one leper met Jesus Christ, and Jesus placed His hands on him and healed him of his leprosy.
Right.
Here we've got 10 men coming to Christ and begging for the mercy of God. And in verse 14, "And when He saw them, He said unto them, Go show yourselves unto the priests. And it came to pass that as they went, they were cleansed." The third thing we see in our notes here is the solution of the Savior. The solution of the Savior. Folks, it's got to be the Lord's way, not your way.
Yeah, that's right.
Must be God's way, not your way.
Amen.
You have a way that seemeth right unto you.
That's right.
But the end thereof is the way of death.
Yeah.
There's a way, a right way to do things and a wrong way to do things. God has His way planned out. He has His way planned out for mankind. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. You're not getting to heaven some other way. You can't go through a priest, a pope, preacher, a pastor. You can't go through a church. You can't go through your baptism. You can't go through whatever it is that you think you can get to heaven. You can only go there based upon what Jesus says.
Amen.
There was one hope for those men. One hope. And Jesus gave them that hope. He said, you go to the priest. That was an Old Testament practice. Go to the priest. They were to go to make it to the priest. And the priest was to look at them, examine them, and see. And when they started to go that way towards the priest, immediately they were cleansed of their leprosy. They were healed completely. I'm reminded in 2 Kings chapter 5, Naaman was a mighty man of valor.
That's right.
He was the captain of the Syrian army. He was a Gentile. The list, his credentials, he was a man of valor, he was a great man, and honorable, but he was a leper. Naaman was a leper in the Old Testament. And there was a little girl that was taken by force and put into Naaman's home as a little servant girl. She came from Israel and she knew exactly what Naaman needed. She simply said something like, and I don't have it written down, but you can find this in 2 Kings chapter 5. She says, hey, there's a man of God in Israel that will know what to do for you.
Right.
I'm paraphrasing it. And so Naaman, hey, he's got an idea. Hey, if I can get cured here, I'm going to go and do it. So the king of Syria sends Naaman down to meet up with Elisha. And Elisha gives him something to do. He says, you go down and dip in the Jordan River 7 times and you'll be clean. Naaman did not like that thought. The Bible says these words, and I quote, I thought. Naaman said, I thought.
Right.
The rivers of Damascus was much better. Pharpar and Abana. Abana. Abana and Pharpar. He said, hey, those two rivers are much better than anything that Israel has. He said, let me go and wash in those. And they said, no, you have to do exactly the way that I'm being instructed by God to tell you what to do. You have to dip in a dirty, filthy, and it was. It's a dirty river. The Jordan River was a dirty river.
Yeah.
You go down in the Jordan River and you dip 7 times, and he got mad. He says, I'm not doing this. He says, I thought there would be something better that I could do. I just thought he'd come over, wave his hand over me and heal me. He wants me to go down and dip in a river of Israel and get Jewish water on me? That's what a Gentile was thinking at the time. And finally, his own people talked him into it. He said, hey, if they told you to do some great thing, wouldn't you do it? And he said, well, yeah. Well, why don't you just go down and dip into Jordan 7 times? And so he went down, and he dipped once. He was still the same. Dipped twice. Came up a leper. 3 times. Came up a leper. 4, 5, 6. All those 6 times, he came up a leper. I think they were cheering him on. Come on, one more time, Naaman. Just one more. It's 7. You've only got the 6. Got one more. Just dip in the Jordan River one more time. Okay. He dips the 7th time and he comes up out of that water completely clean and healed of leprosy. Don't you think that Naaman was appreciative of what had just happened? But the whole story is there. He had to do it exactly the way the man of God told him to do it. He couldn't do it his own way. He couldn't go up into the river Abana or Pharpar. He couldn't go up into Damascus. He had to dip in the dirty Jordan River. The whole neat story about that, too, is when you look at it, it wasn't the water that made him whole. Getting dipped in a baptistry tank doesn't make you whole, doesn't cleanse you of all your sin. It was obeying the man of God.
Right.
It was obeying God.
Right.
He could have told him to go stand on his head 3 times or 4 times or 10 times off in the Negev desert or somewhere, and whatever the man of God through God told the man of God to do, that's exactly what he had to do. Again, it wasn't the Jordan River that made him clean. It was the obedience to God. That's what saves our souls, when we're obedient to God. When we're obedient, then God takes over and cleans and heals us up. You know, it doesn't matter your social status, and everybody thinks in America that your social status is so wonderful. It doesn't matter your wealth. It doesn't matter who you are. It doesn't matter the disease or the sickness. Remember, disease and sickness and finally death comes to all of us. I hate to be the bearer of bad news, but that's the way it works. It doesn't matter who you are. Right. Rich people die. Mm-hmm. Take all those celebrities out there that we hear about. Mm-hmm. When they're millions and billions. George Soros, one of these days, is going to die. Bill Gates, one of these days, is going to die. Elon Musk, one of these days, they're all going to die. And all their wealth cannot keep them alive beyond what God says. That's it. It's appointment day. When you have your appointment with God, it's coming. And you ain't canceling the appointment. We do that, right? We cancel doctor's appointments. I got a dentist appointment this week. I got to cancel because we're going to be going somewhere. And so I got to cancel the dentist appointment. And the dentist will say, fine, that's okay. We'll reschedule you. You don't do that with God. When it's your appointed time, you can't say, God, can we just, can I reschedule my appointment date? Nope. Your appointment is coming. You just don't know when that is. I know mine is this Thursday. I have to go to the dentist, but I can't go, so I can change that. There's only one way to heaven. There's only one solution to your sin problem.
Amen.
And that's not for you to be better and do better and work harder at what it is that you're doing. It's trusting Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. That's it. That's how people are saved today. We have to believe upon Jesus Christ. The Bible makes that very, very clear. I don't have time to give you the fourth one tonight. We'll give you the fourth point of this message, and I want to show you something about Samaritans that's kind of interesting in the Bible, and so you have to come back tonight for the rest of this message. But at least I know what I'm preaching tonight anyway. I don't have to fret all afternoon trying to figure out what I'm doing tonight. Sometimes I do that. Oh no, if I finish the message, then what do I do, Lord? Just relax. The Lord says, I got something for you. Folks, we're all sinners. Thank God. Many of us in this room are sinners saved by grace.
Amen.
I hope you're saved today. I hope and pray that you're saved today. If you're not, you need to be. You need salvation if you're not saved. If you're doubting and wondering about your salvation, you need to get that taken care of. Don't leave here wondering if you're saved or not. Don't go out in this world. I tell you, it's dangerous out there.
Yeah.
But really, no matter where you are, it's dangerous. You need to think about your eternal destiny. You may have one more opportunity to get saved, and today may be that one opportunity. Well, I look back over the years of people that we've loved and cared about. And some people, my parents, my father especially, was one of them. We had Lou Gehrig's disease. He just slowly was dying. And the last week of his life, it was getting worse and worse. And we knew that the end was near. But when we got that phone call on that Friday afternoon, it still stunned us.
Uh-huh.
It still affected us. We didn't really want it to happen, in a way. Another part of me was relieved for him. But then others have come along and it's all of a sudden gone. Died quickly without any warning whatsoever. I'll never forget it in Puerto Rico getting a phone call that Chris had passed away. I was shocked. Yeah, you were too, Bart. We were all shocked that he died. I couldn't believe it. Sometimes death sneaks up on us and we don't know when it's going to happen. Most of the time it's the way it works, folks. You can't predict when your last breath is going to take place. That's why you get ready now while you're still breathing, while you're still conscious, while your heart is still pumping blood through your body. You get it right now. And you get saved now. And you don't put it off. You're playing Russian roulette. You think that you can just go through life and put it off and put it off and put it off. It's going to catch up with you someday.
Amen.
Father, use the message and use this story about the lepers to get a hold of our heart. Sin is wicked. Sin is horrible. Sin is bad. But Lord Jesus Christ, we are so grateful and thankful that you took that remedy for us. We're cleansed of our sin today because of the blood that you shed on that cross. We're cleansed and given a purity today that we've never had before because of what you did by leaving the throne of grace in glory, leaving your Father and coming to this earth and putting on flesh and becoming a man so you could die on that cross for us. What a blessing that you have the cure. We know what that cure is. Or maybe there's somebody in this room or somebody listening online that needs that cure. Sin is killing them. And yet, when they die with you as Lord and Savior, we'll have eternal life. It's almost like not dying at all, according to your word. Lord, please work in hearts and minds and souls today, right now, during this time. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand. We'll have an invitation, simply inviting you to come if you need to come.